Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at ya! Welcome to a new edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Mateo, California. Make no doubts about it, guys. There are mean streets in San Mateo, California. I just don't see them. And let's start off by meeting our hosts. And by the way, I forgot to mention, this is our Smack Our Picks Up edition. And we're playing tribute to one of our fellow junkies, the great Rick Budo. So in a moment, once we get all the hosts in, we'll get into that. But let's meet our hosts. As you know me, guys, I'm one to never forget intros. Fighting out of the red corner. From the land
of... What's going on, fellas?
The only yellow fan left in Maryland. Lerone!
Hey, fellas, what's going on? What's going on, everybody?
The one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, Roller. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Marco. How about that?
Happy birthday, man.
And the man that needs no introduction at all. The man who once asked Proteus, Canada? I don't even know what street that's on. Joe from H-Town.
Good morning, fellas.
Gentlemen,
more like good evening, but we'll take it.
that's right.
I love that song, too, by the way. That's a remake. I forgot who sings the original.
Joe, who sings the original?
Real good song. I forgot, but the remix, Puff Daddy and somebody else did the remix on it.
How about that? Well, gentlemen, let's talk about something that's important. Unfortunately, we had one of our fellow junkies. Let's just be honest, guys. Probably one of the biggest stars that there is in Junkie Nation. Rick Budo passed away.
Most definitely.
When did he pass, Joe, officially?
When did he pass away officially is what you asked?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I think it was two days ago.
I think it was Monday is when the news, when everybody kind of found out.
Yeah, that.
I think it initially happened with Copperheart reached out to, I think, either his brother or a good friend of his, and then he kind of, laid it out to everybody else.
It's a sad thing because, honestly, one of the guys that basically closed every show, right, was...
The closer.
Yeah. I mean, he really was. What did Gigi call him, Marco, the Mariano Rivera?
He was the Mariano Rivera of MMA Junkie Radio, man. He's going to be sorely, sorely missed. Whether you like him or hate him, man, he was always entertaining. But
hey, you either love him or you hate to love him.
Exactly. Thank you, Lerone. Thank you.
I mean, every single time Budo called, guys, we should have either played, some sort of song from Queens or the X-Files song, right? Because it was always a conspiracy and Uncle Fester. Towards the end of the show, guys, we'll get into a little bit of a tribute for Rick Budo. But as of right now, guys, let's give Rick a moment of silence in all sincerity. Let's start now. Moment of silence for one of our own, Rick Budo. All right. Gentlemen, let's start with Mac My Picks Up, guys. All right, so we're going to get hot and heavy.
Tony, I'm sorry, Tony. Before you start that, Mac, I feel like we need to go around and share a little, Budo story if you can, man. Can we do that, Tony?
Yeah, we were going to do that at the end, guys, but let's Joe's right? If we're going to honor the man, let's honor the man. So let's start off, and we'll go in a rotation, right? We'll go Marco, we'll go the entire show, we'll go Marco, Lerone, Joe, and then me. Marco, let's start with a little bit of a quick Rick Budo story, because we all have one. By the way, is Budo really his real last name, or is that kind of a play on something?
No, his real name was Frederick Carl.
Oh, wow. I was way off. Right.
Yeah, he was 48 years old. His name was Frederick Carl. Last name was Carl. First name Frederick.
Yeah, Rick from New York, man. Rick Budo. Dude, me and him got a little bit of a, you know, show battle, to say the least. You know, we were jockeying for position on the MMA junkie rankings. And we also got a little battle with his flat earth theory. I find it so entertaining. A guy that, you know, befriended me on Facebook, and we exchange messages and stuff. And he was always, like, thinking of you, even if you didn't ask for him to ask you to think about you, you know. He will drop a message and say, how you doing? How's your family? He got super excited when I got my Labrador, my dog Rex, because he is a dog lover. And he sent me a personal message, I mean, a beautiful dog, because I posted pictures of Rex everywhere. And when my baby girl was born, same deal, man. A guy that never met, one of the first guys to post on my Facebook, hey, congratulations on your baby girl, man. She's a beautiful and all the stuff. And for a guy that I never met personally, man, it hit me hard. I mean, I've been around a lot of debt and a lot of loss, you know, because of the war and stuff. But a guy that I never even personally, it hit me hard, man. I was all teary-eyed and bummed out yesterday. I don't know if you guys could hear it in my voice when I make my call. I was trying to hold my tears back. That's when I make a really quick call, and I'm ahead, man.
Darone? Did we lose Darone?
Yeah, Darone, I don't know. I'll go next, man.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Next, real quick, man, you know, I'll be honest with you, man. I've never met the guy, never even talked to Budo. And I'll be brutally honest with you guys, man. I never was a fan of his cause. I'm in the minority. But you know what, man? You know, he was one of us. You know, I saw him as an equal. I saw him as a junkie. I saw him as a brother. And when I found out, I could not believe it. And when Goz played that video at the end of the show, which I caught when I got home yesterday, man, I jumped in the shower and I just bawled like a baby girl, because I really felt like, I felt the pain that I lost a brother. And, you know, I say it a lot on this show, on Junkie. You know, we're a family, man. You know, whether you like it or not, we're a family. And we all have the same interests in MMA. And we're brothers, man. We're brothers and sisters, man. And that's the way I felt, man. I felt like we lost a brother. And, you know, way too soon, man. So rest in peace, Budo. You're the man.
Definitely. Hey, I'm sorry, guys. I was on mute. I'm off now.
Yeah,
can I go, Tony? Okay.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm a New Yorker just like Budo, man, and I was born and raised in New York. I moved out to Maryland in 2002, and I'm a proud New Yorker, man, but he is the epitome of a New Yorker, man. I mean, he lived it, he breathed it, man. You couldn't say a bad thing about his city, no matter what's going on in it, man, and he lived it, man, and he loved it. And if you didn't like him, it was, you know, too bad, you know what I mean? And it's like, when you didn't hear from him, it was like you missed it. But then when he was around and he called in, or he had a show, you know, he was on a show and stuff like that, you hate to call and stuff like that, but it's like you love to hate it, you know? It was sort of like, it's like a cat and mouse game. And then, you know, okay, they caught the mouse, now what? You know, it was one of those type deals, man. And it's just like him being gone and him being like, you know, he was like the finisher of the show, man. And it's tough, man. It's definitely going to be tough without him, man.
I'll tell you, I got to finish this show a couple times, guys, and it just felt weird, like, I don't belong here, right? Like, this is the space, this is Rick's space, right? And I'm just a jobber, basically, you know, filling in that gap. And it's not like I wanted to close, it just happened that I closed, but... For me, I was a big Rick Budo fan, man. I don't know if it was his New York accent, which I'm fond of, clearly, right? But I just liked the guy called in like it was his show. And the guy called in and just owned it and just was like, hey, GG.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the first time. I know, don't get me. Don't get me, Larone, because, you know, Larone's going to say, come on. That doesn't even sound like a New York accent, all right? I gotcha. But as we're playing, of course, Down with the Kings, right? But
oh yeah,
Down with the Kings. But I got to be honest with you. To me, Rick Buda was special. To me, Rick Buda was a star. And to me, in my book, right, it's Clearwater, Marco, and Buda in my book. And in no particular order, by the way. But to me, oh, how can I forget my boy Showtime? Right? But to me, when I think of Junkie, it begins with them and ends with me as one of the, you know, as one of the jobbers. So to me, guys, and I'll say this because I've said this publicly, and I'll say it again. One of the biggest regrets that I'll have in my broadcast career, because yeah, I did have a little bit of a broadcast career, but one of them, believe it or not, guys, and especially for this show, is the fact that Rick called in our first show, guys, and I don't think it was solicited at all. He just called in, and it was late, and you know, we were still new. We were trying to get to his call, and I don't know if I hit the wrong button or if I just got on it too late, but you know, we never got him on, and to me, that would always be a black eye. So, Rick Buda, we'll miss you, my friend. We will miss you.
Keep it real up in the field, you heard?
Oh, man, that was good. What's your favorite line, Lerone, from our guy, Rick?
I'm about to say karate. I love when he says karate. You're going to have to keep saying that, man. It's not karate no more. It's karate.
What about you, Joe?
I guess McGapper, man. You know, at the beginning, he was saying he was a big Connor fan, but then he started calling him McGapper. So, you know, that was Buda, man.
For me, it was Uncle Fester. I had to look that up, by the way, to find out what that was. But it was Uncle Fester to me. So let's get on with it, guys.
The Addams Family, man. The Addams Family. Come on, dude.
Wait a minute. Hold up a second. You didn't know who Uncle Fester was?
I knew once I looked him up, but no. I didn't watch the remake, right? I didn't watch the remake. And when I was a kid, because, you know, Marco and I are effectively the same age, and Buda only had us beat by a couple of years, man, which is really weird. But
yeah,
because I thought, I mean, he looked young, man. I mean, that's the first picture I ever saw was that one that everyone posted. And by the way, shout out to his dog, right? His Cane Corso. His King Corso to the American public. What's his dog's name? The King Corso?
Magnus. Yeah.
Man. Beautiful dog, and I'm glad his brother called and that his family's taking care of him. But I didn't know because I didn't watch. Well, I did know. So I did know because I watched the black and white version. Yes, Joe, it was a black and white version as a 44-year-old.
Well, that's what I saw. That's what I saw, the black and white. There's a remake?
But, yeah, there was a remake. Like,
you knew all over the movies.
Right? Isn't there like a 90s or 2000? I never watched that remake, so, you know, I forgot.
The remakes were movies.
Yeah, but there was a remake, right?
Yeah, but they were just movies. I don't think it was a show. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there was two movies with the Raul Julia playing the father and the guy, the doctor from freaking Back in the Future, Back to the Future, who played Uncle Fester.
No way.
Right. No, he was Lurch, right. He was Lurch.
Yeah. No, the doctor of Back to the guy that played the doctor on Back to the Future played Uncle Fester on The Addams Family.
Oh, okay.
All right. You know, gotcha. People are closing the show right now saying, really? I want to hear Smack My Picks Up, y'all. And you guys are playing, by the way, we're playing. Shout out. Most of it's going to be New York music. So let's get into it, guys. So we're going to start with the prelims because I'll be honest with you. You know, everyone knows who Tim Means is, and most people know who Lim is. But Mike Perry and Saba Homasi, I wasn't too familiar with you guys. So we're going to cut them out. No offense to them, right? We're going to start. We're going to keep in welterweight, guys. To the prelim fight pass card we go. Neil Magny versus Lawrence Larkin. So let's get into a little bit about this because Neil Magny, of course, sergeant, Army sergeant, right, Marco? Neil Magny, he's 29-year-old. So I was going to say this is the battle of the 30-somethings, but he's 29 years old, 18-4, guys. at 6'3". Magny is 4-1 his last five. He beat Lombard, beat Gastelum, beat Silva, lost to Maya, and who doesn't, right? And beat Lim. And Lawrence the Monsoon Larkin, another 29-year-old. Similar records, guys, 17-4-1. 2-3, by the way, in his last five. He beat Masvidal, and I'm not sure that was a true victory. Lost to Tumanov, beat Ponzinibbio, and beat Howard. Marco, what you got?
What I got is that you also forgot to mention Neil Magny also beat Team Means. And for the love of God, why do they got Lim and Team Means fights on the main card? I don't get it. But hey, it is what it is. Team Means was supposed to fight Sean Strickland, and Strickland pulled out. So let's see that what it is. On this fight, I definitely got Neil Magny. The name Kevin Gastelum, Hector Lombard, and Eric Silva, the last three wins are very impressive wins. You know, and losing to Demian Maia, you know, everybody lose to Demian Maia lately. And also, you know, beating two of the guys that are on the main card, Lim and Team Means. The guy is on the up and up. He's only 29 years old. And for sure, one of the hardest prospects in welterweight. And he fights every other weekend. This guy, it's a slow year for him compared to last year. It's only his second or third fight this year compared to five fights last year. So he's on pace to probably fight another two more times. Lawrence Larkin, at one point, the guy fought at 205. Remember, he fought Kim Mo on a no contest because Kim Mo tested positive on a Strikeforce. Then he dropped to 185 when he came into the UFC and finally found his way at 170. I call him the reverse Anthony Johnson. But the guy is on and off, man. He looks really good in certain fights, and then he's off again. So for me, Lawrence Larkin is going to be the perennial top 10 guy, but never on the top five. And Magny is definitely a contender to me. One or two more fights, you know, especially after this one with somebody on the top five, and we might be talking contenders. So my pick for this fight is Neil Magny.
By the way, before we get into it, I'm sorry. One thing I'm going to steal from the great John Anik, Lerone. And by the way, Marco, if you want to get in on this, right, it's obviously who do you have winning and method of victory in round if you have it. If you don't worry about it. You have that?
Okay, Neil Magny is famous for decision, people, so I will say a three-round unanimous decision.
Wow, oh, man. My boy, man. He definitely defeated me when he took out Hector Lombard, for real, man. Magny was on a tear, man. He was what, like, until what's his name took him out? Maya took him out, man. He was on a tear, man. You definitely can't take that from him. I'd be biased. I would want to go Larkin on this, but I mean, Magny, man, he just been on a tear. I think he'll edge it out. Larkin, he's been a little bit sketchy, you know, win one, lose one decision. When he kind of definitively beat somebody, it's somebody I guess is not like a top 10 ranked fighter. I got Larkin being biased, I guess, but I think Magny is going to squeeze out the win. I don't know if it's going to be unanimous. It might be like a split decision. It depends on what Larkin we get, but I think maybe a split decision Magny is what the outcome would be. But I definitely have Larkin on that.
Yeah, guys, bear with me. I got to let the audience know I was thrown on this about 20 minutes ago. shout out to our boy Proteus. He had some family issues, so thinking of our boy Proteus. But listen, man, the number that stuck out with me in this matchup is 10-1. Now, that's Neil Magny in his last 11. Neil Magny is a guy that he is striving for greatness. I mean, you see the guy lost to Damian Maia. What did he do after that? He went to go train with him. He took a seminar with Damian Maia. So, you know, that tells me something, that this guy is not just here to fight. He's here to get a belt, man, to get at the top level. And, you know, Lorenz Larkin, you know, he lost three fights in a row not that long ago, maybe 2 years ago here. A little inconsistent. Decisions hasn't been knocked out in quite a while, though. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, 2 years ago he got knocked out. Sorry. I just think Magny, with his will to win, with his to me, I just see him as more of a desire to win the fight. Larkin has the speed. He's gonna have the size advantage, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And Magny's been way more active. So give me Magny by decision.
I think it's gonna go all across the board. By the way, Neil Magny's 6'3", and Lawrence Larkin, I think, is 5'10" or 5'11". I just, you know, Lawrence Larkin, guys, for as explosive as it is, LeRon, and look at everything, DeMarco with his losses to Brunson, Filippo, Tavares, I mean, just not the type of guy that's consistent like LeRon said. So to me, I'm going to go with the decisionator. How do you like that, Marco? The Army Sergeant himself, Neil Magny, decision. I guess we're all in the same boat, guys.
Yeah, Lawrence Larkin, by the way, was a supply sergeant on the Army, and he was on reservist for a while. So there you go. Yeah, Lawrence Larkin is not the same guy that we saw as a hot prospect in Strikeforce when he was actually fighting a 205 and looked much faster than anybody else. At 170, you know, he got guys that are as quick as him. And, you know, like I said, he's going to be the perennial top tender, but never a top five.
All right, guys, we go to as Danny. The producer of MMA Junkie, of course, shout out to Ghost for that nice tribute that he did for Budo, right? And I didn't know until today that they had used New York, New York. So my apologies for biting them. But let's go to the Batman weight. We go bantamweight, of course. Garbrandt versus Mizugaki. Yeah, I said it right. Cody, don't ask me about PVZ ever again. Garbrandt, 25-year-old, 9-0, guys. Of course, you know, just what can you say about 9-0? I was going to go into his record, but he's 9-0, right? Beat Thomas. I'm not Johnny Cage, Almeida, Augustos Mendez, and all these other people that we've never heard of. So he's undefeated. Takeya Mizugaki, guys, the one and only. Mizugaki, of course, 32 years old, 21-9-2, only 3-2 in his last five, guys. And I think I worry about his chin, because Dominic Cruz, of course, KO'd him, and I don't think Dominic Cruz can KO my 9-year-old daughter. But 3-2 in his last five beat. Well, heck, lost to Sterling and Cruz. That's all we need. That's all we care about. Marco, who you got?
Well, I'll be a fool if I don't pick Cody Garbrandt, man. The kid is a hot prospect. And 8 out of his 9 fights have been KOs or TKOs. He got only one decision in his career. The guy got quickness. He got power. He got the grappling. Of course, everybody knows he trained at Team Alpha Male. And the guy got some spunk and swagger, man. He was on the Luke Thomas show today being interviewed. And he did all sorts of call-offs for Dominic Cruz. Basically, he called Dominic Cruz an insecure child that, you know, is running away from him. And that is, I am quoting him. So, Cody Garbrandt, man, unbelievable hand speed. The kid is fearless. He will take one to give you three, and he only hit you once, you're going down. Takeya Mizugaki, for his whole heraldic career, has always been, like I said, same deal with Lawrence Larkin, a perennial top 10. He got as far as top 5 when he fought Dominic Cruz. But that Dominic Cruz fight was a tale to tell. Dominic Cruz knocking him out told me a lot. I mean, he got a lot of mileage for only being 32. And, you know, in the lighter weight classes, your window is shorter than the heavier weight classes. Takeya Mizugaki is the eternal gatekeeper to the stars. If you get past Takeya Mizugaki, you're ready for the top fivers. And this is a showcase for Cody Garbrandt. That is what they're featuring him on the prelims, you know, the FS1 prelims main event, I guess. Cody Garbrandt all day by knockout.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, Mizugaki, I mean, if you look at his record, he's 21-9-2. He has a good, you know, record. He has a lot of experience. But I think Garbrandt is on a tear. I just think he's on a tear. I mean, you can look at his 9-0, and Mizugaki's 21-9-2. I just think that, you know, like you said, Marco said, you know, he's like, you know, whatchamacallit, a gatekeeper. So Garbrandt, I think he could take Cruz now. You know, this is like a gimme fight. You know, I don't see Mizugaki, like you said, not having a chin. If he gets caught, you know, he's out of there. I mean, look at how tough Almeida is in that fight with Garbrandt. And I actually picked Garbrandt, but I thought Almeida was going to get him out of there. And I just don't see Mizugaki having no chance. And this is just like feed him to the wolves kind of fight. And if you look at his record, his last win was against George Root, who's on the decline, you know. So, I mean, you know, he's definitely out of his prime, Mizugaki. And I think, I don't know, I would be surprised. If you're having betting lines and stuff like that, was betting, if you were to, you know, put, you know, your money would be to not put nothing down. You would win some money if you put on Mizugaki. I know what the lines are, but I think Garbrandt is just going to get him out of there in the first round. At best, like, in the beginning of the second round, for sure.
Yeah, guys, man, you know, let me tell you how much research I did on this fight. You ready? That's it. I'm done. Cody Garbrandt, you know,
hey,
this
surprise, motherfuckers.
This, Tony, don't ever interrupt me again. This fight makes zero sense to me, the matchmaking in this fight. This Cody Garbrandt should be fighting, you know, a top five guy in Cleveland next month. So this fight made zero sense to me. Mizugaki got destroyed by Cruz. Cody's, I think he's 9-0 with 8 knockouts. I'm going to say Cody Garbrandt, first round KO.
Yeah, the reason he didn't get Mizugaki is because he was calling out Cutaway, but Cutaway kind of sort of ran away from him. And I understand why. Yeah, first round knockout.
I agree with you guys. I think all across the board, I think Lerone has second. I don't think he makes it out alive out of the first one. So I'm going to say Cody Garbrandt. And, like, you know what? I think you said it best, Joe. I'm going to say it right now.
Hey, motherfucker.
That's how much I thought I got into this fight. I think it's over. And then when I called Proteus to say, hey, Pro, what do you think about this fight? He said,
what do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
All right, guys. So I think it's fair to say it's going to be Garbrandt first or second round, but for sure a KO, gentlemen. We move up.
Real quick. Cody was minus 600 on this, guys. So that's the bettors are saying there's no chance. So
we've seen worse lines.
Hey, if he gets a quick knockout, man, he can make do a turnaround and get on that Cleveland card for sure.
That's true. He is from Cleveland, right, Lerone?
I think so, Ohio or something like that. He was trying to get on that card. Something like that.
We move up to the welterweight we go. Rick the Horror Story versus Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Let's go into some of the particulars, guys. For those that don't know who Donald Cowboy Cerrone, yeah, I said it. For those who don't know who Donald Cowboy Cerrone is, Donald Anthony, by the way, guys. How do you like that? Cerrone. And by the way, the correct pronunciation to the last name, Cerrone. All right, so let's 33-year-old. Now we go back to the battles of the 33-year-old, guys. A 33-year-old cowboy, let's face it, guys, the busiest man in show business, right? The busiest fighter, of course, is 4-1 in his last five. His only loss, guys, to RDA. What was that, 3 years ago, right, lately? I mean, his lone loss. Talk about a tale of a lot of wins and Magny's actually similar career, right, Tim, in terms of work. Rick the Horror Story, 4-1, guys, and I thought this guy was done, by the way, in his last five. Beat Safadine, beat Nelson, beat Mafra, lost to Gastelum, that's weird, and beat Ebersol. Marco, Horror Story versus Cowboy Cerrone. What you got?
Okay, I have to think a lot about this fight, man. Let's not forget that Rick Story also beat Johnny Hendricks when Johnny Hendricks wasn't Johnny Hendricks. That is another cap on his feather. But the reason the Rick Story was not around is because he got a surgery on his neck. He got a replacement of one of his vertebrae, and by his own recognition, he said that he never felt better in his life. The numbness on his neck and the numbness on his hands is gone. He's not training in pain anymore. So something to look forward to. You know, he didn't get a fused vertebrae. He got a replacement artificial vertebrae that relieved the pressure of that pinched nerve he got on his neck. All that said, Donald Cerrone had looked fantastic at a welterweight. I do not know if he's going to be able to handle Ricky Story. Ricky Story is not a taller, but a more massive guy. Cerrone is a natural 155er that is a blown 155er. He's not a natural welterweight, and Ricky Story is. So if Cerrone is able to control the distance, he will outstruck Rick Story. He's going to have problems if Rick Story can bully him against the cage like he does everybody else and start playing his game. I'm going with my heart here. I want Cerrone to win because he always finds ways to win, and he only loses to the elite. He doesn't lose to the guys that he's not supposed to lose. That's the only reason I'm picking Cerrone. I will say it's going to be the unanimous decision also, 29-28. I will give Ricky Story one round.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, man, I love this fight right here, man. Rick Story, Donald Cerrone, man. This is this could be a barn burner of a fight, man. I mean, I want to see Rick Story kind of back in the mix to where, you know, he's, you know, talked about a little bit more, man. That guy is a workhorse, man. He always comes to fight, man. And, you know, he's, you know, 3-1 in his last four. I mean, he lost to Gaslam. I mean, Gaslam is a fighter where everybody's kind of losing to him. Story, didn't he beat, and the only person was to beat him, I guess, until he started going on a losing streak was, what's his name, Hendricks, I think. He had beat Hendricks, I think, too, when Hendricks was undefeated.
Five years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I really like this matchup. You know, this is like how Joe said that one matchup wasn't, you know, made no sense with Garbrandt and Mizugaki. This is like a perfect matchup. This is, you got two guys that are going to slug. I don't really think it'll be on the ground much. And you got Cowboy, who, I mean, okay, he lost to RDA. Well, he fought him twice. He lost to him twice. Besides that loss, those are the only last two losses. He lost to RDA, then he won against Dunham, won against Andrea Martinez. He beat Barboza. He beat Jim Miller, Eddie Alvarez, Jerry, Bendo, McDessie. Then he lost to RDA again. Then he beat Oliveira and then Patrick Cote. I mean, this guy. I mean, and that was the ex-champion that he lost to. So look at the tear that this guy is on, man. It's kind of hard to pick against him. He got a few more losses, but if you look at the tear he went on, you know, versus who he lost to, and that guy was a champion. I mean, you know, he's been there undefeated, you know, for shit, almost two, three years when you think about it. So it's hard to pick against him if it's not, you know, the championship round type fights and, you know, top five fighter. And I don't know where Story's ranked at, and I don't really have to go with the rankings like that. I would probably have to edge out Cerrone. I would say maybe a unanimous.
Wow.
A unanimous or like maybe a split decision. It depends on. I think it more or less depends on which Rick Story we get. You know.
Yeah, guys. The number that I saw here again, and it's a familiar number, guys. 10-1. Cowboy Cerrone is 10-1 in his last 11. He pieced up Cote, which I thought he was going to get knocked out in that fight because he was fighting the bigger guy, but he just pieced up Cote, made him look silly. Story has his last three out of his last four wins are by decision. So, you know, if someone's going to strike with Cowboy Cerrone, I don't think they're going to be successful. Cowboy, like I think Marco said, you know, he dominates against fighters when there's not a bet on the line or when there's not high stakes. So, you know, we see Cowboy doing his own thing, you know, getting there a week early on Vegas, partying and doing the Lake Mead stuff. And Rick Story, I believe he went to the Black Zillions for this camp. And look, man, you know, I just think Cowboy Cerrone is a more talented fighter. He's a more talented striker. And I'm going to pick Cowboy Cerrone by second round TKO.
Wow. All right, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I had Cerrone. I had him. But then I saw, while I was in Vegas, in the mean suites of the Bellagio, he did a morning show where he was wearing, I'm going to say it right now, I'm going to out him, a Donald Trump T-shirt. And he said he was going to back him. So once that happened, guys, everything came apart.
Hey, motherfucker.
So when that came out, guys, you know, actually the truth is, by the way, I'm not a Trump fan. That's the truth. But the truth is, guys, I forgot. Cerrone's moving up again, right, to fight Rick Story. Because we forget that Cerrone, even though he's tall, he's basically a welterweight, right?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that, too. So I'm going to go with I don't know, guys. I'm going to go with Rick Story in a decision over Cerrone.
You're picking Rick Story because Cowboy Cerrone was wearing a Donald Trump T-shirt. That's got to be a first in MMA history.
I like it, though. I like it a lot.
Honestly, guys, the reason why, the truth is, that was a joke, by the way, but he really was wearing a Donald Trump T-shirt, not joking, and said, I back that man, which I clearly don't, being a Mexi-Jew on my mother's side. But the thing that got me on it, guys, seriously, is moving up in weight. And even though he's won two performances of the night, guys, Rick Story seems to be on some sort of roll, assuming he's – maybe I'm just buying into the hype, guys. But I had the Cowboy all the way, but I'm going to go with the horror story because I think even you said it, Joe. I think Cerrone's been partying. Yeah, because he's been known to party, guys. I think moving up in weight
shows up, though, man.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm talking about myself.
Still shows up.
I don't know, guys. I'm going with Rick Horror Story.
What's your method, sir? What's the method?
Decision. Which, you know what? That's probably stupid because is anyone going to win the decision over Cerrone since the judges always like Cerrone? That's probably a stupid decision, guys. Hold on. You know what? I'm going to change my pick. I'm going to go with Cerrone via decision because there's no way Cerrone loses a decision. So, am
Excuse
I right?
Excuse me, bitch.
Yeah, all right.
Boo.
I'm gonna go.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm... Sorry, guys. I got swayed. Joe's the one that swayed me. So I'm going to go with Cerrone.
There goes Tony, making America great again.
Yeah.
Making America great again.
Sorry, guys. All right. I'm sorry. I get swayed. Gentlemen, we move to the light heavyweight decision. So light heavy, we go. Anthony, AJ, don't call me Rumble Johnson versus Glover, Crimson and Clover, Teixeira. Anthony Rumble Johnson, guys, 32-year-old, 21-5. Joe, does that mean that he has 1 foot in the grave? 4-1 in his last 5, guys. He beat Bader, beat Manuel, lost to the great one, DC, Daniel Cormier, beat Gustafson, and beat Little Nog. Glover, Crimson and Glover, Teixeira, guys, 36 years old, 25-4, 3-2, guys, in his last 5, 3 straight wins, though, guys, power versus power here. Beat my boy Rashad Sugar Evans. Is that? Yeah. Beat Cummings, beat OSP, losses to, of course, Jones and Davis only, guys. Marco, what you got?
This I'm going to be such an entertaining fight for as long as it lasts. But we got to agree that Anthony Rumble Johnson, that at one point fought at 170, then tried to fight at 185 and miss weight and got, you know, pulled by who was Beetle done for? Yeah. And move finally to 205. At 205, he looking destructible, man. I mean, he's lost to Daniel Cormier, notwithstanding that he almost won that fight, as you remember. This guy had been knocking fools out ever since he settled at 205. even for a heavyweight and broke Andre Arlovski's jaw. So if you get touched by Anthony Rumble Johnson, you're going to go down, and it's probably going to be the end of the night. And the one thing about Glover Teixeira, as good as he is, he gets touched a lot. Fabio Maldonado touched him a lot, and he almost knocked him out. Ryan Bader almost knocked him out. So, yeah, if Glover cannot take Anthony Johnson to the ground quickly and he gets touched, I'll see that Glover Teixeira is going to go to sleep, and it's going to go to sleep quick. Anthony Johnson, first round knockout.
Wow. Man, it depends on where it goes, man, because both of these guys got knockout power. That's a given. I got Rumble Johnson in this for sure. I think it comes down to timing and speed, and Anthony Johnson got him by age on that. They both packed power. I think I can't remember the last time I seen if Rumble's jaw been tested. If you look in the history of his losses, they come from submission, man. The ground is his enemy, basically. You look at what's his name in his jiu-jitsu, Glover. You know, he probably got a better. If you even look at like the skill breakdown, Rumble, he's just striking. It's all basically striking. You know, even though he has a wrestling background, he doesn't do too well on the ground. And I think if we were to go to the ground, Glover could give him problems. Most of Rumble's losses are basically submissions. And you look at all his losses, he got five losses, all submissions, and everything else is wins. So if he gets somebody who can get him to the ground, and I mean, you know, somebody heavy like that, when they look when he fought Cormier, he was winded, you know? And, you know, who's to say as far as, you know, all these weight cuts, you know, took a toll on him, you know? I could see it could be. I got him in the first round, a knockout, or I can even see him maybe getting tapped out in the second round by Glover. It's going to be really interesting. I think it comes down to if Glover could get his timing down to catch him, or if he can and he feels his power, he can take him down to sub him, or if Rumble could get him out of there in the first round or beginning of the second round.
Well,
so
guys,
way to ride the fence.
Go ahead.
Round. Who are you choosing?
LaRon, who you got?
Oh, well, I got you. Yeah, I got Rumble. I'm sorry, because you was talking to girl, my fault. Yeah, I got Rumble. I got Rumble knockout in the first round.
Ouch.
Yeah, guys, I'm gonna say a familiar number, almost identical. I'm gonna say 11-1. That is Rumble Johnson in his last 12 fights. 11-1. He's got the speed. He got kind of like, you know, punished against Daniel Cormier, but I think he'll come bounce back. If you look at Glover Teixeira, man, we're talking about a guy who won 20 straight fights. 20 fights. How many people in MMA have ever done that? And he lost to John Jones and OSP after that. I'm looking at Glover. His last five wins are by finish. Now, do you think he's going to finish Rumble Johnson? The only way I could see that is maybe if he submits him. But I'm going to pick Rumble Johnson, first round KO. I just think he's got the speed. Marco, you brought it up. Glover has been hit. He got rocked against Ryan Bader. A lot of people forget about that before knocking out Bader. So I'm going to pick Rumble Johnson. He said he's working on his conditioning. He's working on his wrestling. So I think he's going to keep it on the feet and knock out Glover in the first round.
I don't know you. Who is this? Don't come here. I'm hanging up the phone. Prank caller.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. The normal, if you think about logically, right, logic tells you AJ, younger, faster, stronger, you name it, you know, maybe the most powerful, right, light heavy there is. When you look at it on paper, because sometimes you got to go outside the paper, right? AJ, of course, does really well against slower, powerful guys. If you look at it, right? For example, you know, Gustafson, right? Arlovski, right? He beat all these people that are slower, right? Not anywhere near his speed. However, the only Achilles that AJ has is his own head, man. And he was pulled for the last fight because of personal problems. Whenever he has personal problems, he loses. Now, mind you, DC is a better fighter, but he lost to DC and I don't think his head was in the game, so I'm going to do a little bit of sliding defense here.
I didn't think about that.
I think AJ, because I don't think his head is in it, I think he loses second round. I think he gives up, right? Second round in some attempt by Crimson and Glover over and over. Sarah, on paper, AJ murder Glover, but I just don't see it, guys. I don't think his head's in the game. AJ a better fighter, but I think he loses via submission in the second or third, early third or late second to Glover.
Hey, on that point of yours, man, let's remember that it's not going to be too easy to take Anthony Johnson down. I mean, Phil Davis couldn't take him down, and I think he's probably was the third best wrestler behind John Jones and Daniel Cormier. Glover Teixeira is not John Jones or Daniel Cormier. So I still stand on the fact that if he stays standing, and he will stay standing, Anthony Johnson will not have Glover Teixeira.
Gotcha. Hey, I want to tell you back off what Tony said right quick. Now, you said Johnson, when he has problems outside of the cage, he usually, doesn't win or doesn't look as great. Now, before he fought DC, didn't he have like domestic disputes before that fight? Remember, and he was pulled. Am I messing up the timeline?
No, that was the fight that he was supposed to fight John Jones, and John Jones decided to run over a lady.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Walker, go ahead.
Yeah. Johnson is a 2-1 favorite, guys. So. To me, this is a closer matchup. I don't think the odds should be that much, maybe more than a one and a half to favorite, but it's 2-1 favorite. So the bettors think that Rumble's got a pretty good chance of winning. I like this matchup, man. When Glover called out Rumble Johnson, like, who the hell does that? I mean, that was awesome when he called him out and Dana with a big old smile on his face. Cage side. So this is going to, I hope to see a great matchup. I hope it goes three rounds, but I do think Rumble's going to knock him out in the first round.
All right, guys, we move from the co-main to the main event. The fight that no one really, I think, well, maybe, I could be wrong, but I don't think a lot of people wanted to see it, right? Because we did reach out to Nate and said, Nate, I thought you were going to stay the entire way. I can't believe you left. Do you really think that Conor Anthony McGregor is that big of an a-hole?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Thank you. All right, guys. To the main event we go. UFC 202, guys, and the buzz was not, mind you, I've never really been in Vegas when there have a fight going, but the buzz was not great, guys. It didn't seem, the ads were out, but no one really wearing, literally no one wearing any tees. I saw one guy wearing the t-shirt, and it was that t-shirt, guys, that I did buy, and it said,
hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
All right, guys, to the main event we go. Welterweight, huh? That's right, record scratch, welterweight, Nate Diaz versus Conor Anthony McGregor. Nathan Donald Diaz, guys, 31 years old.
Oh, wow.
19-10. Caesar Gracie, that's right, don't call him Royce Gracie, third degree black belt in BJJ, guys, 3-2 in the last five, beat the notorious Conor McGregor, beat Michael, don't call me Jackson Johnson, lost to RDA, beat Gray Maynard, lost to Josh the Real Punk Thompson, the notorious Conor McGregor, guys, 28 years old, 19-3. His lone loss in almost 6 years, guys, to, I'm not surprised, right? Beat Aldo, beat Mendes, beat Seaver. Who? Beat Dustin Poirier, beat Brendal. So not super impressive, right, except for Aldo and Mendes. Marco, the main event we go. Who you got?
Okay, before we start talking about this fight, let's talk about the press conference today where all hell broke loose. All hell broke loose. Conor McGregor shows up 15 minutes late. Nate Diaz, did his thing. 5 minutes after Conor shows up, Nate Diaz gets up and starts leaving. They start flipping McGregor, insulting him. Conor starts taunting him. Nate throws a bottle at him. Con McGregor start throwing stuff at him. Melly, it was fantastic. If you were not hyped for this fight before, you better be hyped now. It's all over ESPN. It's all over social media. Everybody's talking about it now. So now that we got that out of the way, Mr. Conor McGregor, 6 out of his last 8 fights have been knockouts or TKOs as a featherweight. As a featherweight. He packs a lot of power as a featherweight. It did not translate the same as a welterweight. Again, against that Nate Diaz, that his natural weight is weight class is lightweight. However, he did fight a welterweight before. The mind games do not work with Nathan Diaz. So forget about that. You're going to get inside Nate Diaz's head because guess what? You didn't do it the last time. You're not going to do it this time, Conor. Conor spent $300,000 on preparation for this fight on his fight camp. Nate Diaz, I don't think he spent that much, but he still got a quality camp with his homeboys, Gilbert Melendez, Jake Shields, his brother. You know, he gets world-class boxers to go, like Andre Ward to go spar with him. So Nate is not that far behind. I got Nate Diaz, guys. Nate Diaz, not only because he got the edge and confidence and in 11 days notice, this guy coming out of Cabo San Lucas drinking tequilas, came in, lost a fair round, fair and square, he lost the first round, but in the second round, he put it in gear and demonstrated what he can do. A series of 1-2 combinations and knees to the body that sapped the energy of Conor McGregor. Finally stung him. Conor McGregor did not have any other option but to shoot. And, oh, you're a wrestler now. You're a wrestler. Guess what? In the ground, Nate Diaz completely dominated you and made you tap out. I'm going to give Conor his props. On the first round, he did get a hurikiri sweep against Nate. It's a very high-level sweep in jiu-jitsu when he was fresh. So interesting what's going to happen on the first round on the ground. He might be able to do something. But on the later rounds, if Conor gets to the ground, he's done. It's going to be a very interesting fight. I do not think it's going to go the distance. I will see Nate Diaz 4-round submission.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I am mad at that. As far as the card not getting a lot of promotion or, you know, a lot of talk or whatever, it's hardcore, man. That doesn't matter to us, you know. It's great to just have that, you know, to go along with it. You know, being at UFC 189 and just, I mean, it was just crazy that whole week, man, just to talk, you know. So it's not sort of like that, you know, this press conference. What Marco just said, I just saw from when Diaz was walking, they were throwing word about us. I didn't know Conor came to the presser late and stuff like that. I don't think that was fabricated, as if they did it on purpose, but, you know, they just, you know, don't like each other. And, you know, I think they played it up a little bit, you know, but they don't like each other. And, oh, man, who I got in this fight? I even posted too on social media. I said, man, I think out of every main card so far this year, this one is hard for me to choose because we got a Conor who is focused. He's not in the limelight as much. He's not trying to cut you a wrestling promo. He's not talking too much. I mean, when you put the mic in front of him, he talks a little bit, but he don't overplays it. You don't see him and everything. He's not doing as much press as he used to in his past few fights. I think he's more focused. Like Marco said, you know, he put a lot of money into his camp. I'm not sure exactly what he's working on. He's still got Mr. Test Butt with him. You know, that movement stuff I think was cool, I guess. I mean, I guess it worked in the Aldo fight, so I don't want to kind of knock it then because, you know, he lost to Diaz, and now we're bashing the guy. We wasn't calling him Test Butt when he knocked out Aldo, and no one saw that coming, you know. I don't know, man. For some reason, I want to go with McGregor, and I like both these guys. And in the first fight, I actually picked Diaz. Now, with Diaz, man, I mean, you're going to get the Diaz that you're always going to get, you know. He's good on the ground. I mean, he's besides him and his brother, I'd say Aldo, I think they got the best the best boxing. You know, they're good with their hands. I mean, as far as, like, if you were to say who's the closest to a Mayweather in MMA, I'll put Aldo. So besides him and the Diaz brothers, man, they got the best hands. And like Marco said, they train with Ward. You know, so their hands are great. And then you got McGregor. I think, you know, his stance is more unorthodox. So I think that kind of threw Diaz off. But if you look at the fight, and we all knew Diaz won. But before he took him down, there was, you know, they were trading a little bit, you know. Connor was winning the fight, actually, until he gassed. And Diaz was tapping him, and he was rocking him a little bit. And I think Connor felt his power, and then he tried to take him down, which was a mistake. And I still think, even in this camp, if he's training on the ground, and even everybody's saying, oh, he got good jiu-jitsu, and, you know, he's not as bad as everybody says, I don't care how good his jiu-jitsu is, it's not going to be as good as Diaz, you know, especially over the course of him trying to develop it and become better. He's not better on the ground, I don't think, than Diaz. But I think he might pull it out, man, like a TKO. Maybe, I'd want to say maybe in the third round, I got Connor TKO.
Wow. Okay. I got a lot to say, guys, and bear with me. And I didn't have to look at Wikipedia at all. I didn't even look at the records, their last 10 fights. I didn't look at none of that. I'm looking at all the mental stuff. And with Connor, you know, he's just I don't know. There's something about him. First of all, I want to talk about the hype of this fight. Now, a lot of people talked about 10 days notice. They did they set the record for the most pay per views, and everybody was saying, "Well, what if we had a build up to this fight?" You know. As an equal, can I get this through to you? Sorry, don't ever interrupt me again. So now, you know, everybody was saying, "Hey, what if this fight had some time to build up?" Well, it did, and it was kind of looking to be a dud. Well, now this press conference happened. And now we're back to square one. This thing might break the damn pay-per-view record again. But look, man, I look at Nate Diaz, man. You know, this guy has a lot of losses. He's got 10 losses. And he just loses a lot. That's what I see. He's not consistent. Another thing, the factor is his brother was not in his corner in his last two fights, which – you know, he looked great in the last two fights. You know, what does that pressure bring when you have your brother in your corner? I think that's a factor. Another factor is all the hype and the media that Nate Diaz has done. You know, he's done a ton of media for this fight, which he's never done before. So how is he going to react to that? Connor is used to it. Connor has been doing this, you know, for as long as he's been in the UFC, just about. I'm going to take Connor by decision. And I just think that he's going to make the adjustments. He's not going to take this lightly. And I'm going to pick Connor by decision. That's where I'm going.
Cool. I'm not alone. Thanks.
Oh boy.
Everybody's on steroids.
Thank you. All right.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
I actually am surprised, guys. I am surprised that anyone would believe the hype. So one thing that I did get, and I am listening to a few more podcasts now, guys, because I have to increase my knowledge. And yes, that includes the Fighter and the Kid. Hang up right now, Joe. Hang up because I said Fighter and the Kid. But
see ya. Good night, guys.
Yeah, but
allow me to find out the kid.
You were finished. Well, allow me to retort.
All right, guys. So let's go into something that Ray Longo, the Longo Minute, said. A good big man will always beat a good little man. A good big man will always beat a good little man. If you believe the stated heights, because clearly they have to weigh in. Right. But if you believe the stated heights, et cetera, guys, there's no doubt about it. So allegedly, right, Conor Anthony McGregor is 5'9", allegedly. Right. And I'm 6'2", by the way, if he's 5'9". So if you believe that Conor is 5'9" and Diaz is a legit 6'6", let's just say 6'5", right, legit, he is a bigger man with a longer reach. He is a heavier man. And does take, Joe's right, he takes a lot of punishment, right? Nate Diaz, before this McGregor fight, was always someone, an afterthought, right? He really was, because it was Nick's little brother. However, guys, he beat Conor McGregor, the man that not a lot of people could beat, the man that was trash-talking and beating everyone even before they got into the ring, guys. Even before they got into the ring. That said, he did lose. McGregor did lose. He got submitted in the second round after throwing the kitchen sink at Nate Diaz, who allegedly, right, was partying in a boat in Mexico, allegedly. A lot of pub. He's doing a lot of pub. That's true, right? He's doing more pub than ever and doesn't seem comfortable. But when he can swear, guys, brings that swag, and he's got new swag. So, yes, Nick wasn't in his corner when he beat Michael Johnson. And actually, I thought that was a bad thing. And he wasn't in his corner when he beat McGregor. But he also wasn't fighting as much as he is nowadays, guys. Mind you, yeah, you look at it, he's still only fighting, you know, he was fighting, what, once or twice a year max back then? Now he's fought twice in a span of, let's see, December 2015, March 2016, August 2016, right? So he's fighting a lot more. New swag. Allegedly, he's in good shape. We'll see what happens there. But assuming he's in decent shape, guys, I don't see how McGregor gives up 10 years worth of training. Let's just say a good 4 or 5 years worth of training in BJJ and all of a sudden becomes this expert. So assuming McGregor, guys, conserved his energy, stayed within the plan, right? Lerone, everyone has a plan until you get hit in the face, right? But assuming he sticks
right.
Marco, assuming he does everything, you would figure he spent, what, $100,000 or more right in training. Figure McGregor has the edge if you believe the hype, guys. But at the end of the day, it's the 209 that already has McGregor's number. He already got out of his plan already in the press conference, throwing water bottles like a Mac. Nate Diaz leaves when Conor McGregor arrives because he's already had his show. He said, I don't want to be a part of this. He walks out. The Cholos walk out with that strut. They walk out. They're already in McGregor's head. There's no possible way McGregor decides, you know what, I'm going to go 5 rounds. I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to try to destroy this Cholo. He's been playing touch bug through. There's no way, guys. I think Diaz gets him again. Third round submission this time. Again, it's Diaz. I just don't see it happening, guys.
Oh, I love the strut, man.
Okay, let's not forget, Nate Diaz fought Donald Cerrone and beat Donald Cerrone. He fought Benson Henderson for the title and he went all 5 rounds. We had never seen Conor McGregor go the distance. We have seen Nate Diaz go the distance. And whether he wins or loses, he's a very durable guy. And the longer the fight goes, it's a thing about the Diaz brothers, they get stronger. If they get on their rhythm, they get stronger. And that is where I see a problem with McGregor. McGregor wanted a quick knockout on the first round, got frustrated. You know, and Nate Diaz started getting into his rhythm on the second round, hitting with the 1-2, Tom McGregor, then hitting with those knees on the body. And by Nate Diaz all accord, he heard Conor McGregor go, huh? And that's where he went, I got this mofo now. And then he started talking crap to him and started hitting with the 1-2 again, stung him again, and that's when Conor went for the shoot. And we never seen McGregor go past the second round. It's going to be very interesting if he gets past the second round, because the longer the fight goes, it's Nate Diaz's fight to lose. But that's what I say, Nate Diaz's 4-round submission.
Wow. I think a lot of people is going off the fact that just because Diaz beat Conor that he's just going to win. It can happen. Oh, yeah, it's a definite chance that history can repeat itself, you know. But like they always say, too, you know, lightning don't strike twice in the same spot. But there's a chance he could actually still win and take him down and sub him. I'm not questioning that one bit. But I just think that Conor's going to go in there and be more technical. And like you said, we joke about the guy touch butt. Like, we didn't say that until he lost. You know, we laughed and joked until it was silly. But then he just timed it, like you said, when he threw a punch in Aldo and knocked him out. He saw the opening and his movements and stuff. And I don't know if I believe in that stuff or not, but he said it, he did it, you know? The thing is with Diaz, he has the attitude. He doesn't really care, man. Win or lose, he don't care about the belt. He don't care. He wants the money. He wants the money fight. You know, he wants the respect. You never hear him talk about the belt. So, you know, it's you're going to kind of get the same Diaz, which is a good Diaz. He's great on the ground. His boxing is great. There's no evolving to his game per se. You know what I mean? As far as the level of his boxing, he's a good, well-rounded fighter. But I think just the mentality he has, he's a slugger. He's a street fighter. Like, he has that mentality. So he just brings that, and he's gonna fight regardless of the fact of, let me just hold him down and edge out a win. You're not going to get that out of Diaz. So he's going to come in there with the same kind of tactic how he did in the other fight, where you're going to have a McGregor who, I don't know if we're going to see anything pressure new from him, but he's going to be more, he's not going to make that mistake to take him down. I doubt he's going to try to take him down. I think he's even more strategic in his movements and pick his shots wisely.
Guys, I'm telling you, man, not too many people are talking about this, man, but Nick Diaz, man, when you have your older brother who you look up to as a god, I mean, he looks up to him as a legend, you know, as such a role model. He just has so much respect for his brother. And you know, there's got to be some pressure to perform in front of your brother when he's in your corner. To me, nobody's talking about it, man, but I really think that's got to be a key, man, and you don't want to disappoint your brother. You don't want to disappoint, you know, your hero in the performance inside the octagon, man. So I don't know why I'm feeling that, guys. You know, am I crazy? But I just think that's a big factor.
Guys,
Wayne.
Go ahead, Joe. I mean, go ahead, Marco.
I think you're overplaying that factor too much, man.
Yeah.
A fight is a fight, and Nate Diaz has fought with his brother on his corner before and won too. So what? That didn't count either, you know. He has lost and
he's
won.
He's lost ten times. He's lost 10 times with his brother in his corner. So that's a lot of losses. So that's all I'm saying.
And
we can move on if you want.
And he won 17 times.
He got the brakes off him too.
He won
17.
He won 17 times with his brother in his corner. So what is your point?
That's not good.
Here's one thing I will say, though.
Thompson fight, too. He had his brother in his corner, and he got the dog should be out there. His brother threw the towel in, I think, on that fight. Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. Just the Thompson fight.
Oh, yeah.
That was tough to watch, man.
Here's the one thing I will say, and Joe's right. He's lost 10 times, right? He's not a championship fighter, but I can tell you this. I'm looking at it right now, guys, and I could be crazy. He hasn't lost to and he's lost a lot, guys. You look at RDA, Thompson, Bendo, Maynard, Stevenson, Guida, right? Hasn't lost to a guy that's 5'8 and 145, though.
Wait a minute. He lost to Maynard? I thought he beat him bad, too. I thought he got beat bad by him.
He lost decision to Maynard. Maynard, of course, is now, of course, a 145er, right? But
yeah.
I mean, he lost to Maynard.
He did. He did knock out Maynard. Also, he did knock out Maynard. Also.
Oh yeah. Okay. They fought twice because I remember that shit, man. Was,
yeah, but that's in 2013, right? But just strictly his losses, right? In 2010,
okay.
Right? So RDA, right? 2014. Lost to Thompson, 2013.
Yeah.
Lost to Bendo, 2012, right? If you start looking at that, McDonald, no joke. Kim, no joke, right? You start looking at all that. But he's fought more than ever now, guys, with some swag. And the last time, by the way, Joe, that he fought a lot, he lost to McDonald, but then won 3 straight times after he gets into the groove. In 2010, he got into a groove. Back-to-back wins. In 2011, he got into the groove, beating Cerrone, guys. So I just don't see him losing to a 145. Don't see it. And we do. Oh, we lost the caller.
Oh,
we lost.
Damn.
Hey, to come to Diaz's defense, though, he lost to a Maynard when Maynard was like a splitting image of Edgar. That was back when he was on a tear. You know, look at the losses, though. You're talking about names, you know. I mean, that's a lot of losses, man, but that's like look at a Pat Barry or Mark Hunt where these guys, they bring it, they fight, and, you know, they lose to, you know, top 10 fighters. I mean, he's not losing to Cam, you know. A Diaz brother's going to be one fight away all the time. That's just, you know, that's just hands down, you know.
Boss Marco, let's get him back.
We lose,
Marco. All right. Are you
guys
back?
Hear me? I am back, man. My call. appreciate it, guys. I was panicking here.
Marco, I gotta praise you. I gotta praise you on you and your mute button. You guys have been spending a lot of time together. You probably guys went on the lunch date this afternoon, so I appreciate you and that mute button, man. You guys have a good relationship.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you for a second and a third date too.
All right, guys. So let's since we lost our caller, guys, let's go into the spotlight of the night. So who do you guys have for spotlight fight? We'll go Marco, spotlight fight.
You mean like what's going to be the most interesting fight of the night?
Yeah, what do you see on the beaten path or what we spoke about? What do you see as a fight, a spotlight fight? Like who do you think would be? You know what, we didn't talk about this fight, but this is a fight I'm looking for. And don't say Randy.
Well, there is really not too much to deep on the rest of the car, man. Like I said before, I was looking for the Tim Means Sean Strickland fight. But Tim Means is a violent guy, you know. He's probably going to school this guy, whatever his name is, this jobber they brought from Bellator. Omasi. I mean, Tim Means is coming from his, tainted supplement suspension, so he had a point to prove. And if you want to see violence, the Dirty Bird is going to violently dispatch a Omasi in front of everybody and make it entertaining for a little while.
Wow. Oh, man. My spotlight fight. Oh, man. One of my favorite divisions is the heavyweight, and what's the next best thing on the card, man? You got your light heavyweights, man. I'm going to have to go with Johnson and Teixeira, and I'm kind of – I don't know where this division is going to go because if you ask me, it's kind of like in a limbo, and it's – you know, we're all waiting to see exactly what's the definitive on John Jones in that. So, you know, the winner – you know, one of these two guys are going to get Cormier, but I want to see who wins this, and – if it's a good fight, if it's, you know, like a drag out, you know, like when Johnson fought Davis, it could be one of those type of fights too. You know, we're all saying, oh, this one will knock this one out, that one will knock that one out. We can mess around and it can be, you know, both of these guys are scared to throw at each other because they might knock each other out. You might get one of those fights too. We forgot to kind of add that factor in too, you know. So I think that both of those guys, you know, they got heavy hands, and I think one of them, man, somebody's going down, but it could be one of those chances where, you know, They try to play it safe, but I think that's my spotlight fight.
Well, guys, Well, first of all, Tony gave away his spotlight fight, and I really want to say that, but I don't want to throw him under the bus. But I'm going to choose.
Talk about the women. Well, our caller track. Let's get them on, shall we?
Go ahead.
To the 614 we go. Hello? Caller, you're on.
Hello?
Hello? Is this Dal?
Hey, Dalzino.
You're
on.
Dal!
Dalzino!
Hey.
Australia!
What's going on, man?
From down under.
¿Qué pasa, paisano?
Who's that? What's that, Marco?
Dal, you're on.
Of course.
Mark. From Waco, you're on with Lerone, and you're on with Town.
Oh, wow, nice crew. Sorry, man, I've been trying to adjust the time because all the way in Australia, it's a different time here. So I'm trying to work and, you know, but look, man, I rang to support you guys. I'm proud of you with the new show. It's awesome.
You.
I do listen.
Hey, Dal. Dal, yeah. Don't be eating that tainted kangaroo meat like from here, man. Don't be doing that.
Nah, I got to pass my drug test, man. I can't eat that kangaroo meat. And the crocodile stuff's even worse.
Yeah,
I don't know what Frank Mir was on about, but, you know, we don't even eat that stuff yet. What's he doing eating it? You know what I mean?
Stupid gringo.
So, are you, is this on like every, what is this on every night?
Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. our time, which comes out to, I think, 9 a.m. your time. Of course, the Sunday show is on at midnight. Who's shuffling paper there, guys? But, hey,
nice.
While we have you on, let's pick your brain. By the way, is it Dow or Dahl?
Dow, for Dalzino.
All right, Dow, like Dallas.
Yes.
Hey, Dow, while we have Dallas, you,
let's pick your
brain, all right? Magny versus Larkin. Who you got?
Larkin.
At the Batman weight, we go. Cody Garbrandt versus, I'm not going to say it, Bukkake, Mizugaki. Who you got?
Mizugaki, yep.
Who do you have? Mizugaki?
Mizugaki, yep.
Wow, over Garbrandt?
You write this shit down, eh? Yeah. You write this down, man.
Yeah, we're writing it down. All right, who do you got? Rick Hornstory versus Donald Anthony Cerrone.
I'll have to go for Cerrone. That's my boy.
Anthony
That's
Rumble
my boy.
Johnson versus Crimson and Glover.
Rumble.
Tadir.
Rumble. You didn't have to finish it. Rumble all the way.
And Nate, I forgot his middle name now, guys. Nate, is it Nate Donald? Is it Nate Donald Diaz versus Conor Anthony McGregor?
This is going to be a good fight, boys. This is going to be a good fight, but I'm going to have to go with Nate on this one.
And method of victory there, Dow.
Well, Nate, it's going to be I honestly believe it's going to be another submission for Nate. I don't think Conor McGregor's he's grand game is good. You know, we haven't seen it too much. But I still think Nate's it's been in more wars, especially on that weight class. It's more his house than Conor's house. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely going to go with Nate on that.
Now, Dalzino, you know, I just want to thank you for listening, man. You know, we're just some fans of MMA Junkie Radio who just decided to, branch out on our own, and, you know, we wanted to talk some more, man. So we do go on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. We usually have a guest and a junkie. So we have a guest and a junkie every episode on Sunday. And on Wednesdays, if there's a big pay-per-view or Fox show, we'll do a pick show. If not, we'll do a call-in show. So, man, we hope
good.
To hear back from you. We hope to hear back from you again, Now, let me ask you a question, man. You know, of course, I'm not sure if you heard the news about Rick Budo, man. Did you hear the news? And do you have any words Rick?
I have heard the news, and it's, you know, for someone I've never met, but I've interacted, you know, the social media has made the world a smaller place. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
So when we, I nearly heard from Rick nearly every day with his, and I'm very sad over it. And I would actually like to get in touch with his family somehow and give my condolences because it was definitely a big loss in the MMA community in New York and wherever way you look at it. He was definitely a character. If you agreed with him or not, it didn't matter. He was definitely amusing and he had his, best heart, he wasn't a prick or anything, you know what I mean? He's a genuine guy, so it's definitely a big loss, man.
Hey, who's
Marco,
making all that?
Are you there? Marco, you make what happened to your mute?
That
button,
is
Marco,
that is not me, bro. That is not me.
Lerone, you're in trouble.
Oh, no, that's not me. Is that no?
How's the wife and kids?
They're fine. Why?
Because I miss you guys.
Marco,
I know.
Man.
I miss
dude.
You guys. Me and Marco, dude. We hung out in Vegas. You know, me and Marco hang out in Vegas. And in fact, he even saved my ass one night. I'll never forget that.
Oh, my God. I remember, dude, that you were on a catatonic stage. And me and Joe from this and my wife had to drag you all the way back to the Luxor Hotel.
Through the casino like I was Jesus on the cross.
And at the same time, he's trying to hit on every single woman that there was around. And the only thing that he would say was the floor and the room number. That the floor and the room number and every single woman passed around, he's like, I want to marry you.
Who said that?
You did.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
I'm not surprised. All right, man. I've got to get back to it, boys, but it's great to hear from you, and I'll definitely be calling in again.
Del, you're the man.
Thanks a lot, Delzino.
Peace out, Del.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you.
All right, bud.
Man, that was cool. That was cool, guys.
And
yeah,
at least
I was kind of stone cold, dude.
I know, huh?
Hey, Del Sino got super wasted when we went to the arcade. Noah Hobbs got the little showdown with I don't remember the other guy, but they got the little showdown on the USC game. Del Sino got so drunk, man. He was like wasted, like passing out on the club, and we had to take him back to the hotel. That was an interesting night with this guy.
But he had a good time.
Hey. He got a great time, but he doesn't remember.
Wouldn't be Vegas if he didn't.
That means it was a good time. Del Sino. Hey, I couldn't find Controversy Clean, by the way, Joe. So I know we wanted to play music for our boy Rick Budo, and I couldn't find the Controversy. I know that he liked that. That was his walkout song. But I try to get as many New York songs in, thanks to, of course, our boy Lerone getting me as much hip on the NY. And of course, I try to get the X Files.
Thank you.
Of course, we always thought that everything was a controversy. Gentlemen, shall we rap?
Let's do it. Wrap it out, so we got no more kids.
All right, well, guys, we have a special wrap-up song. I thought it was only fair, guys, that we not play. I'm not surprised at the end for Rick Budo. I also wanted to make sure that we have proper respect, guys, and have a good outro. So, gentlemen, let's wrap up. We'll start with Marco. Twitter feed, anything you want to plug, hit it.
At Maldomarco, and with that, I leave you guys. Catch you guys next time.
The other four horsemen, LaRon.
It's your boy LaRon out of Maryland. My Twitter is Knicks, Kicks, and MMA. That's Knicks, Kicks with a Z, the letter N, MMA. Knicks, Kicks, and MMA.
LaRon, the lone Knickerbocker fan in Maryland, by the way, in the land of Maryland.
Yeah, man, I'm not going to plug my Twitter because nobody follows me. I've gotten 10 followers since we started, so no need for that, man. You could follow the Twitter feed for the podcast, at another, what is it, Tony?
At another MMA cast.
Well, there
Start
you go.
Spreading the news.
Attaboy. So, as
there
you
I
go.
Leave, want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Oh, my God.
And I'm from Budo, man. I'm from Budo. And I'm from New York, man. I'm from Budo.
As, you know, if, I think if Rick Budo was ever going to leave us, guys, he would call and say, and like that, I'm gone, gentlemen. So, to our friend Rick Budo, we salute you, our friend, and we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Keep it real in the field, you heard?